When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Griplock, Foundation Disc Golf's weekly podcast. I'm Hunter, joined as always by Trevor and Connor. Hey. Happy Labor Day. it's the day after the World Championship, so we're here to give you what you want.
That's
which is
right.
All the storylines, all the breakdown,
because we
our
won't
thoughts,
sleep.
The stuff that happened on the course, stuff
it's
that happened off the course.
2 a.m. right now.
Yeah,
we recorded this. We didn't go to bed.
Mm-mm. Yeah, mm-hmm. We stayed up planning the show just so we could record it and release it at 5 p.m.
We spent the rest of the night cleaning up Silas's chocolate milk.
Yeah, if you didn't watch that stream, you missed out. But we got a Patreon question of the week coming at you today. A little world champ recap, Trevor's trivia, and then we're going to wrap up the show with the power rankings post-world championship power rankings.
Post-world. Should be
a really good time. But first, quick word from our sponsors.
Today's show is brought to you by our good friends of the show, Double G Craft Jerky.
Double G.
Let me tell you why I'm excited about Double G Craft Jerky, because they got a brand new flavor right now.
Can we get some GGs in the chat?
Yeah, can we get some GGs? We got a brand new flavor. This is Gannon Burr's signature flavor, citrus peppered teriyaki beef. I still haven't gotten to try it, but it sounds mouthwatering.
That sounds incredible.
I'm very excited about this new flavor. They also have a ton of other flavors, such as Hot Boom Sauce, Garlic Lover's Dream, Nate Sexton Sweet and Spicy. That's their best seller. They got McBee's Barbecue. They've got Original, Smash Crack Pepper. So many different flavors. Double G Craft Jerky is a great snack for out there on the disc golf course. They also have a children's foundation, so for every bag sold, it contributes to the promotion of disc golf to the youth. They buy discs and baskets for inner city children and have donated thousands to families in need of money for events. If you're interested in using them as a player's pack item, they offer a 1 ounce bag. That's a huge hit for player's packs because it's a great snack out there on the course. They also sell hats like you'll often see me wearing in videos. They do subscriptions as well. If you want to do a 3, 6, or 12 months option, and then you can set your quantity of how much jerky you want delivered straight to you every month. So make sure to check out Double G Craft Jerky, link in the description. You can get 10% off your order with code FOUNDATION. Highly would recommend it. It is a great snack out there on the course. Thanks again, Double G Craft Jerky, for sponsoring the show today.
A beef jerky subscription is low-key a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want that?
So let's kick it off here. I have a piece of gum in my mouth for the first time, like, possibly in, like, 10 years.
I don't know if I've ever seen you chew gum in my life.
I just saw chocolate milk. I feel really weird right now. I saw gum when I was leaving my house, like, oh, yeah, I'll pop a piece.
I also haven't
and
chewed
now
here.
I'm like, now I'm like, what am I doing? So if you hear random chewing noises or I just exit stage right,
stage
I'm going
right?
to spit the gum out. But anyways.
It's just something I've never seen
before. I don't
before.
Chew gum, ever.
I spend a lot of time looking at you guys' faces because how much I edit you guys, and seeing you chew gum is a weird experience.
Yeah, I don't ever chew gum. I was trying to stick it to the top of my mouth so I could just talk and it didn't work.
He's breaking the matrix. Just swallow it. If you have to spit it out, just go for distance.
Go for distance. I'll just aim for Connor.
Yeah. And I'll catch it in my mouth.
Nope. All right. Patreon question of the week. So if you're not sure where this comes from, basically we have our Patreons called the Heiser Club, and we have a weekly podcast called the Heiser Club Mailbag.
What?
Where basically people ask us whatever they want, and we answer each and every question. You can check this all out at patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf.
So
you can actually sign up for a 7-day free trial over there as well if you want to check out all the content we're putting out before you decide.
Be a part of the inside jokes.
Yeah, but
be a part of
there's
it.
A lot
Chase
of inside
Stevens,
jokes.
You're dead to me.
Yep.
Shout out Chris Crossley.
Yep. And you can also get an exclusive foundation niche, I'll call it t-shirt. So if you want to get on real inside jokes and show up to a tournament rocking a Rest in Peace Wheel Shoestrick shirt, the diehards will know where you got it.
Wheel.
So this question actually comes from Micah Webb.
Yeah, as in a wheel, as in not Will.
Yeah, sorry, Wheel Shoestrick. If you haven't watched our videos, that might have come across very weird. We have a wheel,
alive.
And we call him Wheel Shoestrick, and I bashed it against a tree because I got upset.
I was in our last video. I did a We Miss You Jaime like little segment because the guy, one of the guys who threw a shot, did a shout out to Jaime. That was, and it looked like he was dead.
I didn't even know that.
He's not dead. He's
Jaime's
a very
fine.
Young
he's just
kid.
In Charlotte. Like, yeah, he's chilling.
He's fine.
Micah Webb wanted to know if Isaac or Corey Ellis wins one more major this year, and Calvin and Simon either do not win again, or win only one more event, and Gannon does not win again, who is the player of the year? So I brought this question back up.
Yeah.
Because I figured it's a good talking point.
It's reality now.
Isaac Robinson has won the world championship. Spoiler alert. So Isaac Robinson now has two major wins. Then he was saying Calvin and Simon either don't win or only win one more event. Gannon doesn't win again. So basically, if the season ended right now, or you give Calvin and Simon maybe one more win, who is player of the year?
Let me paint it. Who is not winning it again in this?
Gannon.
Gannon doesn't win. So Gannon's resume in this scenario, three elite series. Forget the silvers, three elite series. If Calvin or Simon, who currently both have two elite series,
I'm pulling them up
and
to
no major.
Verify that, but I believe
if either one of them just win MVP, this gets very difficult. If either one of them wins a major and have a major and two elite, it's still really difficult. I tend to think if Calvin wins USDGC, it definitely tips him for player of the year. Definitely, I would say. Without a shadow of a doubt, I know Isaac's resume is strong, but Calvin's resume is crazy this year because of where his finishing places have been, and he would have wins to back it up. If Simon, with an inconsistent finishing resume, and then also having two elite and a major, like if he were to win USDGC, versus Isaac's two majors, really tough. If neither of them win, Isaac has them beat. Right now, the only person Isaac is you could compare him to would be Gannon, who has an extra win, but it's an elite series.
Yeah,
and I would say Isaac probably beats that.
Yes.
What I will say is probably considering who wins tournaments this year, which a lot of them come from that group of players, and there's a good chance that they will win. You know, like there's a good chance that Simon will win MVP, and then you know, let's say Gannon repeats at USDGC. There's gonna be some interesting decisions to be made. I think that the player of the year voters would probably be hoping that somebody can just like clinch a little bit harder right now with that because it's going to be as tight as it's ever been.
Well, I think if the season just ended right now, it would go to Isaac Robinson, player of the year.
In my
opinion, a major win is worth two elite series. So as of right now, Isaac is at the equivalent of four elite series. So where it gets interesting is if Calvin wins MVP, has three elite series, and the season, you could try to make the season argument. I think wins matter. And it's not like Isaac Robinson's had a really bad season outside of his wins either. No.
I don't think that'd be quite enough.
I think Simon, if he wins just MVP, I don't think that's enough. So realistically, in this scenario where Gannon's not winning, because if Gannon wins one more and they're tied, I think the tie goes to the season.
Gosh, yeah.
Body of work. And I could be wrong. Yeah, it would be wrong. I think it would go to Gannon in that if it goes to body of work. We'd have to look at the stats there.
It's probably close.
But if Calvin picks up a major, it goes to Calvin.
Yeah.
Like if Calvin wins USDGC, Calvin's player of the year. No one can, even if Simon or Gannon or Isaac wins MVP, I think if Calvin has two wins and a major and his body of work, he's player of the year.
Here's what I can say.
But Calvin can't win a major.
I'd have to. You know, there is going to be some voting for player of the year. I think it's just the media these days that are the ones.
So it's really
going
to be a lot.
I think
who wins.
I think the players and the media both get votes still. And I can say that they are going to weigh Calvin's season, his body of work really heavily because they all do. I always hear them talking about it. You know, I think it's very impressive. I tend to credit wins above all. But I can say that if Calvin is close, I think there's a great chance that he wins it, and it's going to be interesting.
Well, we've got a good, we're in a great situation where you can make arguments for a lot of players, and I think that's where the player of the year is beautiful.
It's more fun when it's this
because
way.
Because they give it to Calvin. Okay, well, if Calvin, if the season ended today and they gave it to Calvin, it's a really good argument for Isaac. Yeah. Now, sure, Calvin's got a lot of consistency, but I think Isaac Robinson deserves player of the year as of today. And I also really like Isaac at USDGC. I really do. If Isaac wins USDGC, there is no argument.
I wonder what he did there last year.
Let's look that up.
Let's pull that up. Because, you know, you'd have to like him there because he's accurate. He can putt well.
I just like his angle control.
Doesn't have a forehand, but who cares? Doesn't, I mean, I think that he's a guy who just overcomes that.
Came in sixth last year.
That's a tough look for the field.
Looks like the dude was a master of momentum, too, because he could not be stopped.
Now, he
lost
by 10 strokes last year. Again. But he came in sixth.
He played well, though. I think that tells you right there that there's a good chance he contends. I mean, if you look right...
Well, really...
If you look at that leaderboard, you do have Gannon, Calvin, and him all within that top six.
Yeah. Because he went 62 round one, which was kind of his bad round, then went 59, 58, 54. So he got progressively better. 54, scorching hot. Gannon obviously finished with a 52, also scorching hot. That was a hot round of the tournament. But USDGC is going to decide a lot of things.
It's going to be awesome.
But yeah, to answer your question, I would say in the scenario you're giving me, if Calvin or Simon don't win a major, Isaac Robinson's player of the year.
Two majors is pretty convincing.
We'll see what happens. And there's a lot of arguments can be made either way. But let's get into the actual Worlds now. That was just one of the side talking points. A lot of talking points from Worlds. We're going to start with the FPO side. No surprise here. Kristen Tatar, wire-to-wire victory. Wins by 6 strokes over Missy Gannon. And then third place, you have Holland Handley. This tournament it wasn't quite... In the end, it was a dominant performance by Kristen Tatar. There was a little bit of a slip-up in round 4, I believe it was.
It got within one. Yeah.
On hole 14.
And Missy took a double on 18 and kind of started to fall away a little bit.
Yeah, it got within one on 14, but then Kristen went three under through the last 4 holes, whereas Missy went 1 over, and so she was able to push it back to that back to a 5-stroke lead and then gain another in the final round to finish with a comfortable 6-stroke lead, and that was with some layups on 18 as well.
I'll say this. Missy Gannon played her heart out there. She had to play really, really well to make any reason to watch FPO because of how... I mean, Kristen was just pulling away from everybody. If it wasn't for Missy, there would have been nobody even contending.
Missy was well clear of the field.
I think Missy Gannon played really well for that tournament. She did a great job and... actually gave herself a few chances to catch up to Kristen. It's just one of those things where she just wasn't going to be beat. And I think we all knew that.
Yeah. Everyone, everyone knew.
Well, except what was happening.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what you might be listening to this and be like, wait a second. I'm confused.
Yeah. Wait a second.
I follow Paige Pierce on social media. I thought Missy Gannon won. Or if you follow Paige Pierce a day after this, then you're like, what are these guys talking about? We'll cover all that. So Paige Pierce on Saturday. Now, I don't know at what point this was posted. It would be brutal if this was posted on hole 14 when they get to 1 stroke.
Yeah.
But timing-wise and jinx-wise, that would be when this post made the most sense.
It was the hardest jinx of all time. It's the type of jinx that makes you think Paige had money on Kristen.
Yeah. Well,
I don't
know.
That's not true,
Paige
but it's
was
like...
on, Paige was... She was on a anti-Kristen social media campaign, and then I think got called on it and tried to backpedal into being like, "No, I'm a huge Kristen fan. I love Kristen."
You got the original one?
I got the original, of course. I screenshot it.
On her.
When you see, there's certain things in disc golf you see, and you're like, "They're gonna regret
that
screenshot."
I've got
and you
so
gotta
many
have
of
it.
Those screenshots.
So Paige Pierce said, "Wow, at Missy Disc Golf, which is Missy Gannon's Instagram." You're really about to do this. Of all the things I have called you in all our crazy accents, to add world champion to that, I'm shaking writing this. I love you more than you love your bedtime. I wish I could be there watching you walk up 18 with that giant smile and confidence in your step. Own the day tomorrow and soak up this final round. Everyone help manifest this. Send energy out. Our girl is going to bring it home in 24 short hours. Oh, and Tinker, and I think she tagged Missy Gannon's husband. Nice job to you too. Love you.
Let me be clear. Let me be clear on this post. There's nothing wrong with supporting your teammate and friend. Mm-mm. Nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong.
However, posting that when she's down...
And tagging her.
When she's down 5 to Kristen, not even saying not even just saying like, hey, you can do this, blah, 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 but saying like, you're going to be a world champion.
Like, I'm shaking writing this.
She's down five to the greatest FPO player ever.
Yeah.
Like, she's not.
I read that and I was like, what are we talking about?
I just
think
that's it's just an interesting one. And I'm not going to like get, I'm not going to get too mad over it because at the end of the day, all she wanted to do was be supportive.
Yeah.
But it is just, it's just, it was a real head scratcher. Like, if I saw that and I was Missy, I'd even be like, huh? Like,
well,
all right.
I'm too superstitious. If I saw that and I was Missy, I probably would have DNF'd. I'd be like, well, I just lost. There's no point in me even showing up. I'm probably going to tank tomorrow.
I fascinating. Well, and we got to get to, there's an updated version now, right?
Well, there is an updated version. So if you go to this post.
Hit him with
So this is what happened kind of in between. So in between, that post goes up the day I saw it post-round. It sounds like it was written post-round. I don't know at what point it was written, but it seems like it was post-round four. And like we said, she was down by five. I'm imagining these stories are gone. But yeah,
they're gone, man.
Well, it's 24 hours, so I don't think she deleted them. I think
long
just
gone, man.
But then in between that, I went on to Paige Pierce's story because I just was going through my stories, and she had like a picture on and said like, "Who do you think is going to win tomorrow?" And the option was Kristen and Missy, and so I voted Kristen because I was like, "This is going to be kind of funny to see like 95% of her followers vote Kristen."
Mm-hmm.
I hit it. It wasn't a poll; it was a quiz. And when you hit Kristen, it told you wrong answer with a check next to Missy.
What?
Crazy.
And so I like clicked that and then I laughed even harder because I'm like, we are just like, she's just on.
I'm going to spin zone this because this is what we've wanted for years, is like a player to decide that they're just going to like get out there a bit and like take, like get a little rivalry stirred up. So I think this is great.
But the problem is she backed down. That's the problem.
That is true. There's still some progress to go.
Two slides later, you have a picture of Kristen holding a trophy and she's like, to be clear, I've been a Kristen fan since 2019 and like wrote this whole, like a Kristen love speech. I'm like, no. You already backed yourself in the corner. You can't crawl out now. You already showed us where your mind's at. You can't just try to save it.
I mean, the quiz is crazy.
And then she edited the original post.
Wrong.
She edited the original post and said, wow, this is going to be one of the craziest battles against one of the best FPO players of all time. Now we're kissing tail. Kristen and Missy are about to give y'all a show tomorrow. I'm proud of Missy Disc Golf's determination and fight. Missy has been with me through it all. She's my best friend, maid of honor, and my sister. I'll be cheering you on tomorrow and taking the action from my living room. I'm so sad I won't be able to attend the final round in person. However, whoever takes this one down deserves a claim of world title. Be sure to send out all the positive vibes to the lead card as they handle the nerves on each shot and get ready to watch history unfold. Good luck to all the FPO players battling
this
out tomorrow.
This is the funniest one yet, too, because like, I don't know. When was that edited? How long?
I don't know.
Like, you know, most people see that post within, like, everybody knows you changed it.
Well, most of the comments.
Editing a post after, like, the first 20 minutes that it's up, especially if you're as big as Paige, like, there's no point.
I mean, I everybody think the only it. Reason why it might make sense is if they're, like, it sounds like they're, like, genuinely, like, best friends. So if I had, like, a best friend in that situation, it would be fun. Like, it wouldn't be because you dislike the other person. It'd just be because you're, like, so much, like, your best friends with the person.
Well, here's my media wanting a storyline to be
interesting,
true.
Especially her knowing her position. It's still an interesting
post.
Well,
so I'm reading the comments here because the comments didn't get edited, obviously, and the post didn't get deleted. So most of the comments are just like coming after Paige because
there's a lot of Kristen stans out there.
Us
Estoniacs.
And then Alyssa, Paige's partner, said, this is the craziest response to a supportive friend I've ever seen. Barf emoji, heartbreak emoji. Missy was one stroke back during the round. Not that crazy to think something similar could happen, and that's no hate to Kristen at all. Shows no one actually watched the round, just looked at final scores. For months, I've been trying to convince Paige that she's wrong about all the haters, but y'all are making my life hard.
Dang. You know what, Paige? If you don't have haters, you're not successful.
That's true. If you don't have haters, you're doing it wrong.
Just keep that in mind, Paige.
Here was my opinion. Again, media wanting a storyline to be there and wanting this rivalry to really just ignite. Because no offense to Paige, but I think she needs this rivalry to light a fire in her to get back to the Paige we all know.
It would be sick.
I think that she, Paige Pierce, had, before Kristen Tatar, the GOAT lockdown. I think Paige Pierce was unequivocally, you couldn't really argue, the greatest FPO player of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Enter Kristen Tatar. Yeah. Paige Pierce still in her prime. Realistically, you're thinking like Paige is going to be the first to get to six. She's going to, you know, she already she's has about to all these
1,000 rated.
Yeah, she's about to hit 1,000
rated.
Oh,
man, I forgot about that
and
one,
and it
too.
All slips.
We got to check the round ratings.
It all slips. So next thing you know, Paige Pierce, ratings going down. Kristen Tatar enters. Paige is starting not to win anymore. She starts to change the narrative to say, I don't care about winning. It's not about winning. Yeah. But then when she does win, it is about winning. And then Kristen just keeps winning 85% of the time. She walks on the course, and everyone's just like, this is over. Why is anyone else showing up? Which is what we used to say about Paige. I would make that post. I'd put a poll up.
The best thing that could happen for women's disc golf would be if Paige, like, recovered from her injury, got back into, like, her prime playing and, like, started challenging.
Yeah, gave Chris, because that would give really us a show.
It would be awesome. That's what we want. We want that so bad. That's what we had with Paige and Kat.
That's what I'm trying to make this a narrative.
It is interesting because you, like, rarely saw Paige struggle. And as soon as Kristen came in, it was like, like a Wittershins happened in Paige's mind, and like she like completely changed her whole personality.
She just went the whole opposite direction. Yeah, yeah, it was.
It's crazy.
Kristen, though, you can't say enough good things. Kristen Tatar.
Oh man, Kristen round ratings. Do you want to hear them?
Yeah, I do.
Hashtag Road to 1,000. We're tracking Kristen. 1034, 1039, 975, 999. So she averaged over 1,000.
Here's the thing: we plugged them in because we're close. Without factoring in the drops that are about to happen, because the ratings update will be what, Tuesday? Tomorrow?
I'm not sure.
Whenever the ratings update in September
I think she's going to hit it.
You know, we're a big ratings show. Well, those aren't going to go on September. That won't wait. That'll wait till October.
But even still, I think it'll be close. It's
gonna
be very close.
This update is going to be at least like 997 ish, possibly higher. So she might already hit it in September. If not, Throw Pink Women's doesn't count. Ratings don't count there. Yeah. So it's really just MVP.
Mm-hmm.
If she performs well at MVP, which that course sets up for her to, she will be the first ever 1,000-rated FPO player.
Come on, man.
If she gets to 997 this month, she'll break Paige's record of the highest rating.
996 was Paige?
They had those 996 forces.
I remember that.
So if she gets to 997, record's already broken.
1,000-rated peers are going to go crazy.
Yeah, it'll be
They should do the same stamp that Brody did. Or the same design. The black with the gold. That'd be so funny.
That would be funny. Really funny. And they should sell them with a hat, too, and a hoodie.
Hat combo.
So the interesting thing about the GOAT conversation, because Kristen's getting into that conversation, deservedly so.
My GOAT.
Is there's two ways to look at it, right? One side, greatness is determined based on accolades. If you go based on accolades, Kristen probably won't get there. I mean, you got to just look at, She's got probably a few more years of dominance. All signs would point to that, but she is getting older and she's kind of entering this disc golf level of dominance late in her career.
Yeah, I've got a take. I was thinking about the other day. If Kristen had entered the sport, like entered the U.S. disc golf scene, like the same time that Kat and Paige were coming up, she'd be the Ken Climo of the FPO. I think she'd have like.
It would be interesting.
I think she'd have like at least 7 or 8 world titles.
We
by
can't
now.
Overlook what Paige used to do, though.
What we never had the Kristen litmus test.
That's fair, but
that's all I'm saying.
I think part of Kristen's dominance is similar to Paul's dominance, which was not necessarily skill gap. It was the mental scaredness, if that makes sense.
Well, I'm saying if she could have established what she's doing now, you know, the field's. Like, in theory, the field has gotten better. If she was,
I don't want to write off the killer instinct Paige, though, of old.
There was no Kristen.
There was a Kat. And Katrina Allen was darn good at disc golf back then. I know she lost by, 39 this weekend?
Yeah. We have to start.
I'm still shocked by her when I see it. She was 13 over. Kristen finished 26 under 39. Yeah. Kat lost by 39.
This guy's tracking it.
because I was telling my wife about it. And she was like, so who came in second? I was like, Missy. And she's like, who came in third? Holland? She's like, where are the other two girls? I was like, well, Paige is hurt. She has a broken leg. She's not going to be back. She's like, well, what about Katrina Allen? I was like, you don't want me to answer that.
What about her?
I was like, you're going to have to keep scrolling. But
that's crazy, man.
Back then, Katrina Allen was very, very good. She is still very good. She's got something mentally blocking her up. Kristen was very, very good. No. I think Kristen's mentally blocking up the whole field is what I'm saying.
I don't think
she would have mentally blocked Paige back then.
What's to say?
Because Paige hadn't built her brand yet. I think what blocked Paige, in my opinion, is Paige built her brand on dominance.
That's a fair
point.
Paige was basically saying,
like, this is who I am.
And somebody threatened it.
And then someone stepped in and was like, no, you don't win. I win.
No, she didn't have to deal with anybody. Because, like, again, whenever you're losing as you're, like, making your way up, you're not, like, like it makes sense because you haven't built that reputation for yourself.
You're
like
building
you
the reputation. Yeah. So I think it would have been a lot closer because I still think that Paige Pierce is capable of what Kristen Tatar is doing right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kristen, if you watch Kristen play, she's not doing anything jaw-dropping. She's just not making mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's darn good. Paige Pierce used to not make mistakes. Like, if you go back, Paige Pierce played the game Kristen's playing.
More OB now. I don't know, man.
Come on.
That's her worst.
You're grasping at straws here.
No, I don't know. OB is Paige's worst nightmare.
Nowadays, but it didn't used to be.
Because it wasn't on the course.
Because Kristen wasn't on the course. Kristen came in, pushed that narrative away from Paige, and I think that's what shifted Paige's mentality to be scared.
This is another classic LeBron MJ argument. We need the time machine.
Kristen is the OB in Paige's mind.
There you go. That's a good one.
Is that a t-shirt?
But no, I still...
How many world titles? I'll say this. I think Kristen, was she 32? 31, 32? I think over the next four seasons, she wins at least half of the majors for the next four seasons minimum. I'll say that.
I'd agree.
That's what it looks like to me. Until some anomaly comes and like...
Anomaly?
Yeah, you know, words.
Anonymity?
And still, anomaly. Until an anomaly comes in and there's somebody new to challenge.
Another Kristen can always pop in.
Yeah, well, we need one because this field's not beating Kristen for a while.
Here's the thing that we have seen the last two tournaments out of Kristen. She hasn't lost either of them, the European Championship or this.
Mm-hmm.
But she has kind of baltered with her lead. She's kind of walked around and just kind of... She's given up more than you would expect her to. She's had chances to really run away. I mean, the European Championship, she was up by like 16, and it got to like three strokes.
Just gets bored.
I don't know.
Well, she doesn't have to push.
I think
I don't know.
It's going to be interesting because she has lost.
They don't like teach you in disc golf school how to play with a 20-stroke lead.
That's true.
Yeah. You're kind of like, what do I do?
But she has lost this season.
Yes.
She's not perfect.
I think she's...
And she's never come back from three strokes down.
That's true.
This giant of the FPO field has a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's between her ears. I don't think that she has the mental toughness of when she's back or someone's slipping. Here she held on, but if Missy would have kept pushing and not double bogeyed 18, would she have? If Missy could have got to even going to the final round, would Kristen have won Worlds? It's something to ask because if Kristen's three back, she's never done it. She can't do it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say she's not going to, but as of right now, she hasn't.
I think that stat is more so because
she's not off
barely
back.
Ever happens. Yeah, I mean, I think she's like 10-15 this year on wins.
But yeah, when she is great at holding on to the lead, but we've seen leads start to slip out of her fingers, and I think that it's similar to Paul, where she has this effect that makes the rest of the field almost be entranced. And Paul used it to chase people down because you would start to see McBeast mode kick in and you saw people just do uncharacteristic things because they were terrified. Because Paul, they could hear Paul's
nipping at
heels.
I think the field depth.
I think Kristen is different though because I think Kristen, instead of chasing people down, she's in the lead and people are just like, well, I'm playing for a second because I can't catch her.
Right. Well, I think the field depth, like there's only... 10 to 12, maybe 15 FPO players who can are even capable of putting up a round one score that Kristen's going to put up most of the time. So I think it's pretty hard for her to be behind after one round.
I would agree.
I think Kristen I'd like to know how many times she's gone wire to wire of those 10 wins. It's probably
most of them. Probably
a good bit of them, which is just like, that's the thing is like she jumps out to a lead. She coasts. I don't know. That's just, she is FPO.
What I'll say, back to the greatness argument, right? She is making a very good case to be the greatest FPO player of all time. The accolades, I don't think, will quite get there. I don't think she'll be able to quite match it. But there's this other side of the greatness argument, which is like the best, right? And there's like the greatest, which I think greatness includes like accolades and all that that comes with it. And then there's the best. And where the line gets blurry of the GOAT, are they the best player of all time? Like Paul McBeth is the best disc golfer of all time to today. But he doesn't have the accolades to match Ken Climo. That's why there's this argument. Not because Paul couldn't go beat up on Ken Climo, because I believe he could. But because Paul's not going to get to 12 world titles. Now, he might match Climo in majors, but Climo didn't have the same amount of majors to play, or else no one would be able to touch that either. I think that's a Kristen Page situation. They're just a lot closer in time frame. Because Page's career also isn't over. And like, who's to say she doesn't come to Virginia next year and win a world championship number 6? And now we're talking a whole different storyline. But
I think she could.
From the optics of it, Paige Pierce.
That new London OB, though.
Ooh.
I don't think she typically struggles with wooded OB. It's the open OB. And then we said that, and then what did she win this year? They opened at Austin?
Mm-hmm.
The most open OB course of all time?
Really, regardless of like what Paige's struggles or anything, it's mostly just, I mean, there's just consistency issues.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, that's the same with Katrina, is because, like, they've still proven that they can win.
Yeah.
It's just there's consistency issues.
It'll be very interesting. I Kristen Tatar is, I think, the best thing that happened to FPO since Paige Pierce, because you have a lot of people tuning in to watch Kristen. And that's what you want. That's what happened with Paul McBeth and MPO. That's what happened with Tiger Woods in golf. Dominance can get boring, but people watch it. And I mean, if you, the viewers back that up, because if you watch round one, there is almost as much people watching round one free on YouTube of FPO as there was watching the final round MPO on DGN. Which might not sound crazy, but that's pretty crazy that as many viewers watched round one FPO.
There's a bit more. You said there was 10K. I think there was only like 8.5K on.
Yeah, I think it got the 10K on round one. I'd have to look back. But when it went from, it used to be like FPO was like half the MPO viewers. Round one, FPO and MPO were mighty close in views, and I think the majority of that, in my opinion, is Kristen Tatar.
It's very exciting.
People
want
to watch her.
Very exciting to watch.
And she deserves it. She deserves all the accolades. She is a great champion. She holds herself very well. And she's great for the FPO.
It's going to be interesting to watch it throw pink this year, because she struggled there last year.
Yeah. Well, she needs the U.S. women's title. She doesn't need it, but like for the season storyline.
That's what she was mainly missing. Slam.
Yeah. Because.
Be so sick.
I mean, if she does that, she'll also, obviously, the season slam, but right now that's the only title she's not currently holding, because a lot of them went back to last year. Like coming into world, she was the current world champion. So like, it'll be interesting. And you gotta like her at all the worlds again next year, and or all the majors again next year. So it'll be fascinating. Now on the MPO side, Isaac Robinson got out to a lead going into the final round, held on. There was a few people that pushed. It got interesting at some points, but it never really got that interesting. Anthony Barella was able to clinch solo second place after some misfortune on 18.
That's my dog. Second?
Now, what I'm looking at doesn't really make sense, but Eagle McMahon and Matty O finished tied for third.
Because they both OB'd on 18.
I swore Eagle
18.
McMahon went OB on 18.
No, it was Matty O. He did.
He saved
birdie?
Oh, he did. Yeah, he did go OB. Oh.
The graphic said for par.
It was Matty O and Eagle that rolled OB.
Yeah, they went OB.
Eagle McMahon birdied 18. I got to be around three.
I'm
in round
three. Okay.
I was staring at that, and it was speaking language I didn't understand.
Well, you were around four. There's 5 rounds. Yeah.
I was around four.
I was like, we've done that like 2 weeks in a row.
I was like looking at that. I'm like, I swear I watched this.
I thought we just stumbled on like a conspiracy.
I was like,
for a second.
Eagle McMahon shouldn't be in third place. Never mind. Yeah. So Eagle,
he's owed money.
We should have put the bet on somebody going solo second, because it didn't look like that was going to happen.
It didn't. No. But then Anthony Barella clutched up, hit the bird. Eagle and Matty O both went OB. They were all tied for second.
It was worth a ton of money. Unfortunate rolls, both of them.
Yeah. And so Eagle and Matty O finished tied for third. They both hit the putt, which is clutch.
Yeah.
And they both shot 13 under par that final round, one off the course record.
Wow.
And then AB finishing second, two behind Sir Isaac Robinson, who, again, there was definitely some moments where
people pushed him. Eagle was within one.
But Eagle then threw OB on, I think that was, 16?
Well, he had a few pars there. He had to basically birdie out. I mean, he was on a stretch where he just had to birdie out the back nine, and he made a few pars.
Well, 16 was
he hit that early tree on the par on 15.
That was 15, yep.
And at that point, it was kind of like,
no, because that point it was like he's got to get
but
up
he
down.
But he still had to go birdie, birdie, birdie then.
But the OB shot on 16 is when, in my head, it was done.
Yeah, and that stunk too, because that drive was really good. He just
cured
went too far.
He just pushed it too far. No one's really done that.
Yep.
But yeah, Eagle had his foot on the gas. I mean, Matty O, to be fair, had his foot on the gas too. It was just at the timing of it, where Matty O was coming up, it was kind of already settled. Because the other thing, too, is during that same stretch, it was a little reliant on Isaac Robinson making some pars, and the guy just wasn't really making many pars yesterday.
Yeah.
He shot 10 under that final round.
He was, like, the most calm and collected, like, thrower, like, having the lead.
He
didn't look nervous. There was a couple times where he looked, like, I'll say passionate.
Yeah.
But not nervous. Just as in, like, you could tell that he was, like, soaking
it
in.
You could tell how much he cared.
Yeah. There's, but he wasn't, like, but he falling wasn't apart. To him. He didn't look like he was, like, missing a little bit right or missing his line a little bit and then getting nervous about it. He just was a machine.
You do not want that guy having the lead in the final round.
Yeah. Like, it was, I mean,
he has proven it is hard to chase him down.
It honestly made for, like, it wasn't, it, like, it wasn't, we had a super exciting worlds with the whole holy shot thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, the expectations were kind of high going into this year, but it made it to where, like,
well, last year was not the holy shot.
You're right.
Paul's big pie yeah, yeah. in the playoff.
Well, last year was yeah. also a playoff.
Yeah, yes. But it made it to where, like, this year wasn't, I mean, nothing crazy really happened.
No.
The thing that surprised me most was whenever both Matty O and Eagle went OB on hole 18.
I mean, there were some big moments and some big putts hit. Yeah, the battle for second was electric, but Isaac Robinson, this is very similar to what he did at Champions Cup, where once he gets, there's some courses, and both these courses played well to him, but once he gets a lead, he's just too consistent that once he has a lead, like, what it feels like to me is he's a very consistent player, and when he's at a course that plays well for him, and he shoots the round, like, he's going to keep shooting those rounds.
Yeah.
So, like, no one's going to catch him if he gets a lead, because he doesn't have a lot of room where he's, like, a wiggle room. So we don't see him win every week because I think he's doing the same thing at other courses. It's just some of the courses, the score he consistently puts up isn't good enough to win.
Yeah.
And then on courses that the score he consistently is going to put up is good enough to win, we see this weekend. And that's why I like him at USDGCs. I understand he's more of a woodsy player, but USDGC brings a lot of those wooded aspects to the Open because of all the OB. And that's why we've seen, like, Chris Dickerson win. And Isaac Robinson is the closest thing to Chris Dickerson since Chris Dickerson. Obviously, Chris Dickerson was in this tournament. But there is something, and maybe I'm crazy, but I honestly think for a player of the Isaac Robinson-Chris Dickerson game, Prodigy Discs is the best plastic on the market for them.
Hmm.
Their putters, insanely good. Prodigy's mid lineup. Some of Prodigy's mids, you do have to search for them, but if you find certain M3s, M4s, the way they flip is unlike other discs on the market, and then you can find the archive of Isaac Robinson or M2s and stuff that you can really lay into on Anheuser, but Isaac's making his money throwing PA3s a lot of times.
They have great putters and mids.
Where Prodigy kind of falls off is when you get more to the drivers, but, like, that's not really their game. Like, yeah, he's throwing like the FX4 and the FX3 and stuff like that, like those fairways, but he has enough drivers that he's fine.
Well, I mean,
but he makes his money on those dead accurate mids that have, like, crazy, like, late flip and hammer it on Annie and letting it just slowly pan. Well, and Prodigy is so good at those.
And the good news for Prodigy is on the ultimate flip side of that card, you have Gannon, who only throws overstable flex shots with drivers half the time. And he's also won a major with Prodigy.
Yeah.
So it seems like they just kind of got their bases covered.
Well, the Prodigy Discs has had themselves a heck of a year.
Yeah,
I mean, if you looked at the leaderboard yesterday, you had Isaac, Alden Harris, and Gannon Burr getting themselves up into the mix. They all ended up finishing in the top six, but at one point they were all in, like, top four. And you're looking at, you're like, the young guns of Prodigy are all just right there at the World Championship.
I'm surprised we didn't see any shots from Alden.
They showed a few.
Did they?
They showed one or two.
Okay,
yeah, because he was on the same card as I forget whose card he was on. But they showed a few shots of him.
Okay.
But, you know, not a ton. I think it was because he was pushing, but he was so far ahead of Isaac, because I think he was on the third card, and they were, like, a few holes ahead.
Okay.
At the pace he was setting, it was hard to believe Isaac wasn't going to meet it.
Yeah, okay.
And because he ended up losing by five.
That makes sense.
And he shot one stroke better. So he was down by six coming into it. So he just he had to do more to win. And with Isaac putting up a 10 under, he would have had to shoot the course record 16 under to tie him. Yeah. But at the beginning of the year with the whole lawsuit thing between Gannon and Prodigy, I don't think we would have expected Prodigy to have as good of a year as they do. Yeah. I mean, they're responsible for the World Championship disc, and the World Champ discs always sell like hotcakes because it's a piece of history. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a Prodigy fan or not, collectors are interested in it, just like MVP. Those James Conrad Envies. Now, the James Conrad Envies, they made 55 million of them. So if you didn't pick one up, you can probably still find one at some retailer somewhere. Not us. Shout out Trevor. story for a different day. But those discs always sell well. The six claw stuff. Like, So Prodigy is having themselves one heck of a season. The archive even sold super well. Isaac Robinson's proving that his brand is almost stronger than the Prodigy hate.
Yeah, because, well, he's a very likable player.
You also, I saw comments saying, huh, that Prodigy flashing doesn't seem to be bothering Isaac too much and stuff like that. Like, people are like kind of turning and going on Prodigy side. Like, who would have expected that this year?
It's definitely the best case scenario for them, that people just keep winning with their plastic. And you know, at the end of the day, Prodigy, you know, if you get the right stuff, they've got some good stuff.
Well, that's the thing. It's like the PA3, you don't really have to search for a good PA3 much.
Yeah,
some of their mids, you might have to a little bit, but...
The best thing they could do right now is make a video with showing his world's highlights and showing every single disc that he was throwing.
Well, I was going to say, the
shots.
Thing they have for Isaac is he throws a lot of new Prodigy.
Oh,
he throws like the FX4. Because if you go through Gannon's bag, it's all stuff that if you want to duplicate, you're going to be paying like 70 bucks a disc.
That's true.
Like, the people are like, oh, this Bowling Green D3 is my oversale meat hook. You're like, sick.
Well, I know. I
bought a D1 because I thought it was going to be overstable.
Mm-hmm. Isaac's throwing a lot of putters and mids, and nothing he throws, I don't think, is that complicated.
That's what I'm saying.
But also, the fairways he's throwing, those, their new fairways are really like, they're really good.
They're
and they didn't have great ones before, but these new ones are really good.
Yeah, they had, because like when I was with Prodigy, they had like the H1 V2 was like some of their new stuff.
And like the H3
they
V2.
They were fine. They weren't great though.
Yeah.
Like the H1 V2, I was expecting
nothing
to be
special.
Like Sexton Firebird, and it was like a beat up Thunderbird.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't really find certain discs. That's not true anymore. The FX series in general is great.
Yeah, the FX3 and the FX4 are both really comfortable discs, too.
The FX2 is even good. I wouldn't call it great, but it's good.
It flies like it's supposed to.
Yeah, and then obviously their putters and mids is where Isaac's making his bread, and he's making a lot of bread.
The PA3 is the people's burg.
The tournament, it has more glide than people claimed. It has... Less glide than the Berg, probably.
I feel like I was watching Isaac throw the crap out of a PA3, and it looked like it was just falling out of the sky. And it helps him. It helped him not go past. Really?
Very far.
Yeah, he crushes it.
I feel like the PA3.
There were several shots that everyone else was throwing mids, and you started PA3s.
I kept saying, he was going mid here, and it was
maybe it's just the way it looks whenever it's in the air. It looks like it's just
well, that's
wants
what
to
the
get
Berg
to the ground.
Is the people think the Berg doesn't have glide, because what it is when the Berg loses speed, it falls.
Yeah.
No, that's fair for the PA3.
And the PA3 is like that. That's why I like putting with it. Is if you don't put speed on it, it's not going anywhere. So you just throw it. But if you have some spin on it, that disc goes very far.
Yeah,
but
so
yeah, it's similar to the Berg in the aspect
I'll
of
say
it just
this,
kinda
man.
Falls at the
I
end.
Mean, and this is starting to turn into a Prodigy promotion. It's not really
as
supposed
it should
to be.
And you
but,
just go,
they
kidding.
Won the world championship.
But
they deserve
give
it.
Them, but give
like,
them their flowers,
I'm not,
man.
I'm continuing to. I'm just saying, like, it's got me wanting to throw a PA3. Like,
I want
to
put PA4s back in my bag.
The PA3 is one of the greatest putters ever made.
Gosh dang.
I'll die on that hill.
Maybe
I'll
put a PA4
wait,
back
we,
in my bag. I love the PA4.
Do we just chuck out a bonus code? Do we do it for Prodigy?
Why not? What's Isaac's
code? Do we do...
code Isaac?
Code Robinson or something, or code.
Let's not go just straight player name. Let's do something a little more fun.
Code mid range, since we're talking so much about mids.
World champ.
Yeah. Or yeah.
Let's just do code world champ. One word.
W.
Did you 10? Should we go 10% or 15? Let's share the love. 15% off all Prodigy.
There you go.
Code world champ. 15% off all Prodigy foundationjust.com. See, that's how you spin zone this whole.
Come
thing.
On.
There you go.
I don't even think we have PA3s in stock right now. I'm not.
Now
even
we
lying.
Can put that in the title of the video too.
Whatever we have though.
Yeah, whatever we have, go buy it.
Yeah.
Anthony Barella, impressive second place performance out of him. I did want to... AB is so tall, they had podiums. They had like logs that you stood on for first, second, third.
And was he as tall as Isaac?
He was just as tall as Isaac standing in second place. It was hilarious. I like looked at it. I didn't even realize because they were standing on podiums because Matteo and Eagle had their foot up and they were like holding up three because they tied for third. So they both had like just their foot. And then Isaac and AB were the same height. And I was like... That's funny. That's really funny. So the podium should have been a little more drastic, I guess. But
whenever I saw him hug Gannon at the end, I mean, it was like he was hugging a weeping willow tree.
Gannon's
huge.
Lanky, dude.
He's so tall.
Calvin Heimberg was in contention, but ended up just kind of tying the final
Calvin,
hot round.
Classic.
There
Calvin.
Was a few moments there. Like one, he missed like a literal 15-footer.
It was a real difficult round for Calvin fans.
No, he tied Isaac's
round,
sorry.
I was really rooting for Calvin. I kind of put all my eggs in his basket. I lost thousands. I'm just kidding.
I think Calvin needs to reset. I think he needs to go back to the short hair. Hair's getting a little eulatrious, if you will.
I will.
You think it's an aerodynamics thing?
I think it could be. I think Afro Calvin.
I kind of like it though.
Here's the thing: once you don't win for a certain amount of time, we need a reset.
So I here's the thing: I think he needs like a bald opinion.
Fade.
Dude.
I think he needs like to go back to the
like
white polo.
A taper
polo.
Fade. Like okay. maybe get some
Calvin
designs.
Doesn't give me those vibes though.
I know, but like he needs a reset of brand. Yeah.
I think he's got to go back to the white shirt. Final day, the anti Robbie C.
Here's the thing: is that he's
too long off.
Not but 2 weeks ago. I probably said, I think on Griplock, I don't know what it is. I just don't really like rooting for Calvin.
You know what? You know
what? There
you know what's going on.
But now I changed my mind. I think it's because, I think it might just be because I watched, like, from watching the Brody video, the practice round with him, I, like, got into his. It takes a little bit to try to enter Calvin's personality because it's not a loud personality. Mm. But once you get in there, he's a real good time.
He's very likable.
Yeah, and I really like him now.
I think you know what it is. Calvin. I think his clothes, his polo was fitting him too well. He needs to go back to those ones that kind of went down to his knees.
That's
dry fits. Yeah. The shirts are fitting him too well. That's
he
it.
He kind of looks
He looks too good out there.
He looked better when he kind of just looked like a little kid who was wearing his brother's hand-me-down
shirts. What was that cartoon like Secret Agent show?
Kim
yes.
Possible.
No.
What is it?
Oh my gosh.
Phineas and Ferb.
Codename Kids Next Door.
He looks like a character from Codename Kids Next Door.
With the long fitting shirt. Yeah. Yep. Great one, Connor.
Thank
Very
you.
Good.
It was a team effort there. Connor really helps.
What did you say?
Kim Possible.
Hey, fair enough.
He does. I mean, no.
No. The final big storyline. Oh no, there's one more after this, but big storyline. Paul McBeth's decade long reign. Is officially done. Obviously, he was injured.
He played okay.
He played fine. He got himself kind of up into contention more than I expected. Ended up shooting 6 under that final round.
With two rounds to go, I was thinking, yeah, he might sneak in there.
Finished tied for 13th. He was injured. He's done for the season, I believe he said. I don't think he's coming back. So he's not going to play USCGC. Heartbreaking. Not going to play MVP. I think that's partly injured, partly he has a kid coming. And... you know, obviously you want to be at home with your wife during that big season of life. So in a way, the injury kind of works out because now he probably shouldn't be playing anyways. And
no, I mean, Isaac Robinson's Thanos. So
that's true. But there it goes. As quickly and mysteriously as it came, it's gone 10 years later. Paul McBeth's reign of the world championships. Now, you do have to still like the guy coming to 2024 Worlds on courses that he designed. You gotta like him at New London.
Gotta like him in New London.
So
I do.
Gonna be
I think
very
he'll be,
tough to beat there.
I think he'll be right back. But that I think this second place or first place was to break Climo's streak of first and seconds at Worlds. I believe that was
those,
it.
Those Climo streaks.
Climo streaks are hard to beat, and no one. I think we can say.
Let's say it.
No one's gonna do that decade long streak again.
I respect
second
you for
or first
saying that.
At Worlds.
Yeah, I would say
I'm
that.
I'm glad someone finally said it.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
it's near impossible.
Statmando needs to do.
It was statistically impossible for Paul.
And they
to
need
have done.
To do a list of like disc golf's hardest to break records, and that
would
definitely
be
up there.
And then we Climo's make a nine video worlds of us there. Doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot, but there it is. It would have been an interesting, and I didn't hope he was going to DNF because obviously I don't want him to be injured. But it would have been curious the arguments of his streak still alive versus his streak's not.
No, I respect he finished it out.
But he finished it out because
played pretty well.
He very easily, I'm sure he was in pain, very easily could have DNF'd and just taken the easy way out.
Yeah. I do respect
but
him for that.
He played. He finished it out.
But
the birdie on 18 nonetheless.
And
six under final
he
round.
Did not embarrass himself out there.
No, he played solid.
Which
top
is awesome.
15, top 15 performance at Worlds. But yeah, the decade of greatness is over. Mm. It almost feels like a turning of the guards in a way.
Changing of the guards.
Yeah. No, it's when the guards just turn. They're still turn. There, but they just.
Yeah, that's also
the
a term.
It's like a moment
of silence. Back off, dude.
My bad.
Yeah, thank you. Back off. No,
turning
changing of
the
guard is what it's kind of. It kind of feels like in a way, right? Like this is the final chip to fall to officially announce the Ricky and Paul era.
Isaac Robinson's the new goat.
Yeah. I didn't say that. Isaac Robinson is
the best of all time. Sorry, greatest of all time.
I also saw Nick Newton, my guy. I don't know him, but I was following. I follow this dude, Dylan Lotak, who was on his bag, and he was filming on his story. The guy had to hit like a 35-footer on 18 to secure the final USDGC spot, and he hit it.
That's sick.
He knew
that's
what it was
fun.
For.
That's sick.
And he stepped up, hit it, huge fist pump because he got his USDGC
that's
spot with a birdie
so
on the
team. Sick.
So, that's fun. Unfortunately, AJ Carey is the one that got bumped out.
Oh!
Unfortunate for AJ. But Nick Newton qualified for USDGC there. I believe I saw Grady Shue was one of them, Andrew Fish, and Raven Newsom.
Hey, shout out Raven.
Some college disc golf buds there. Raven Newsom and Grady Shue getting into USDGC. So,
wow, that's awesome.
The final storyline I wanted to bring up.
Where did Grady play?
UNC Charlotte.
Okay.
He was on the Travis Chumley team. I think it was the year before you were there.
Yeah, must
they
be.
They were a filthy team.
I bet they were.
Yeah. Avery Jenkins. I wish I could. I need to find this post. But Avery Jenkins, another streak died. Avery Jenkins was supposed to play his 24th straight world championship, longest active streak, and he didn't play, not because he didn't want to,
yeah,
but because he couldn't get in.
Dang.
So he was on the wait list. He tried from what... I'll try to find this post. Here we go. So Avery Jenkins posted this. It's the end of an era, as I will not be competing in my 24th consecutive disc golf world championships, longest active streak in the sport. I was unable to get into the tournament off the waiting list, and I was denied any type of past champion exemption into the event. Definitely not the way I wanted to see this streak end, when obvious accommodations could have been made. I've been fortunate enough to compete in every pro world championship since 1999 in Rochester, New York.
Wow.
And I've been president of every world at some capacity since 1991 in Dayton, Ohio. This is an event I've always been a part of every summer for decades, so I'll be here with my family showing support of the event this week. The World Championship is the pinnacle event, and the most deserving player always wins. All the best of the players competing this week. It's your time to shine.
Sad, dude. I'll say this much. When there's like a billion spots at Worlds, there's a whole B pool.
Yeah.
You got to have,
frick are we not
you got to have exemption for a guy that won the tournament.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I don't know what we're doing there.
That's a head scratcher.
That's crazy.
Anybody else, and I wouldn't be like, but he won. Like, you should get
previous.
You should get a lifetime exemption.
So since he didn't go, he didn't break the streak. Like he didn't.
He lost
the record. He didn't get the record for most consecutive.
Correct. No, he just had the active. He just had an active streak.
He has the record, but it like.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't even know if he has the record necessarily, okay, but he was the longest active one.
Okay.
It just sucks. It's like, I mean, yeah, Avery Jenkins, playing anymore.
Yeah.
But he was he's an icon of the sport.
Yeah.
You know, world champ. And it is crazy that, I mean, there's a lot of guys there with smaller names than Avery Jenkins who've never won this event or come close to even smelling it.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a world champ sitting on the wait list.
Yeah.
Kind of a tough scene.
Although eventually when that world champ becomes like 75 years old, I guess there has to be some point of being like, hey, man, it's time to sit this one out. But Avery Jenkins is not that guy. He's not that old at all.
Well, USDGC, though, like, Climo would just kind of come, throw a ceremonial shot, and then DNF a lot of times.
Does that count for the streak?
He took up a spot of USDGC.
Yeah.
But they put him on the first card out, and Climo and Pete May would go play a few holes, and it was like a ceremonial thing.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of what it would have gotten to. But
that is so fun.
It's a shame.
It's gone. It's done. There's no other option.
PGA.
They made the wrong choice, PDGA.
Come on, PDGA, dude.
And
right,
Avery Jenkins.
Right around PDGA
people.
Election time, too.
Yeah. Avery Jenkins.
I'm writing in Avery Jenkins.
Because he's not, it's not like he's
wow.
Like,
wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Very big of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's not like he's
not huge.
A part of the sport anymore.
No, and he's still
he's
a
very
capable disc golfer.
Yeah. He probably would have, he would not have come in dead last.
Yeah.
There was a lot worse, disc golfers out there than Avery Jenkins. So I had to bring that one up because I thought it was kind of ludicrous he couldn't play.
Luda.
I watched so many Avery Jenkins videos when I first started playing.
He was like all over
the like deep in the game. I had a deep in the game stamped FD.
What?
He also like
you still have it?
No.
Oh lost man.
It. I feel like he did a lot of like Discmania disc like reviews and throws and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Dude. So, Avery, if you're watching this, man, we love you. And also please send me a deep in the game stamped disc. Appreciate you, dog.
If we were running the world championship
right around election time,
if we were running the world championship, your streak would still be alive.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah. We would have given you $1 million. We'll never know because it won't happen. But like, we would have given you $1 million.
I would have given
you
a parking spot.
I would have at least given you a hug.
Yeah,
that's true. And that's worth more than
for.
Yes,
I say when Worlds comes to Lynchburg next year,
we have an Avery Jenkins parking spot.
We have an Avery Jenkins spot in front of our store.
All right. Let's make it happen. Yeah. All right, time for the fan favorite segment, Trevor's Trivia.
Let's do it. I'll tell you what I got.
What you got, Trev?
So,
Trivia.
Who had the longest streak? Avery Jenkins.
So, Stat Mando firing off just a lot of really fun tweets related to Worlds yesterday. So, I figured we just ask, I'll ask some of these as questions.
Okay.
Because they're fun. So, okay. First question. We'll kind of do it rapid fire. Kristen Tatar is the first back-to-back FPO Worlds champion since which player? And if you can say the year, that would also
Valerie be Valerie Jenkins, 2009.
That is correct.
So I follow them on social. Come on, huh? So okay. This game might not be.
Well, you might. I would be surprised if you remembered all of them.
That was still impressive. Hey, that was still fun, though.
I should have said I didn't follow. Just be like, I should have thought a little more.
Isaac Robinson wins the world championship, his second major title. Let's see if Connor could get them first. If you
No. Yeah. I like his win.
Second major title and first Worlds win. With two major wins this season, Robinson is the first player to win multiple MPO majors in the same season since which player, which year?
This is why I don't want you to wait for me. Everybody knows that I'm bad at the ones that has to do with tournaments.
We'll take a stab at it.
So first one to win multiple majors since another player.
Yeah, you
in
think
the same
that,
season.
In the same in the season. Same season. If you think this through, you can get this. You can do this. It's only the majors.
Okay. Is it well? How many majors did Gannon win last year?
Just one.
Well, that's not helpful.
All right, Hunter, do you know the answer?
I don't remember this
one. Oh, we got a double stumper.
Like it's Paul McBeth 2019. 2019 is the year that sticks out to me, but I don't know why.
Okay.
But well, I'm trying to think through the major winners that year. I don't. Paul won Worlds that year.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, did he win European Open? Because he didn't win USDGC that year. Chris Dickerson won USDGC when there was only one major the next year. Obviously, Paul 2015. I mean, there's a lot of other years Paul won two majors. Yeah. But
that's what I wanted to say, Paul, but I wasn't sure if that was too far back.
I feel like it's 2019.
That is so crazy that there. I feel like there's such a big jump so quickly.
Can't be Rick. Because Rick would have been 2017. I don't think he won any other majors. That only makes sense then. 2019 sticks out in my head. I don't know why.
That's correct.
Okay. Was it Paul?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
That's correct.
Why didn't you just say it when I said it? You could have saved me a lot of thinking.
I like to make you ponder.
It wouldn't
all
make
right.
you think.
He so, did since 2007.
What was it? Was it European Open was the other major?
Yeah, it would have been European Open.
Okay.
Since 2007 in MPO, obviously we have 15 Worlds winners now, 16 with Isaac. But not counting this year, there has only been 1, 2, 3 players that were outside the top 10 in the world rankings when they won Worlds.
Isaac was outside the top 10 when he won Worlds?
I'm not... No. I'm saying previous to Isaac. I think he was outside the top 5 potentially. No, he's probably in the top 5.
What world ranking? This is the PDGA one?
This would have had to have been for these because, you know... Well...
World rankings just kind of suck, so... I don't trust any of them. Except for ours.
Oh, Greg?
Greg Barsby has to be one.
Oh, Greg?
Correct. He was 11th.
Yep.
This is since 2007.
Yes.
Why'd we start on that year? It's kind of random.
Just last 15. Just the way they did the tweet.
Something to think about, you know? Why would you go to last 15? You could have went last 20.
Sorry, listen off some more. Who won world champions? Hunt?
Well, I'm trying to think. Feldberg, I think, would have been in the top 10 when he won. It could have been someone later in their career that won just like sneakily.
That might have been in the top 10 back in the day.
Yeah, but wasn't in the top 10 when they won.
But then they had one of their...
We got to think the last 15. We had 2007 was... I already don't know.
Yeah, you keep on... I feel like you expect yourself to know the answer by the time you get to it every time because you keep on saying...
Who
like,
won in 2007? Do you know?
I don't know. It's just funny you kept on setting yourself up
like that. I feel
like
that's a Feldberg one.
Okay.
2010 was Eric McCabe. I think he was outside the top 10.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
I just realized that I meant to say top 5. But you are correct. Eric McKay was outside the top 5.
Oh,
there's
okay.
only 3 outside top 5. I said top 10. I meant top 5. And Eric
no,
McKay
you're
was
Gucci.
One of
them. So I have 2 of the 3. Right
yes,
now.
There's one more.
There's
player.
One more. It's outside top 5 when they won.
Yeah.
Well, that just got a lot more interesting.
Start naming world.
Well,
champions.
It's the same theme. There's only one more player that sticks out on this list. The other ones were Well, I mean, I would say there's maybe two that stick out on the
Avery
list.
Avery Jenkins is a possibility there. He was within that time frame, but I feel like he was kind
of
good.
It's honestly interesting to see where some of these people were ranked.
Beyond that, 2012, Paul could have been outside the top five in 2012 when he won his first.
Do you think he was?
No. That's why I'm not going to say him, but he could have been. Just let the record show I said he could have been, so if I was wrong. Who won 2011 Worlds?
You got to go more recent.
Okay.
More, James Conrad.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Duh, that makes sense.
Interesting ones. So, Felberg, when he won, was number one in the world. Okay. Avery Jenkins was third in the world when he won.
Okay.
And Macbeth, when he won his first title, was one in the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Daggum.
Surprising. Very interesting.
That part of you that said it?
I was wrong.
So silly now.
You just ignore them. Yeah,
silly boy.
Idiots. No, I wasn't an idiot because I knew not to go with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody calm down. He's not a silly boy.
I was processing my thoughts out loud.
All right. There you go.
That was fun, Trev. I like doing those. It always puts pressure on me because I'm terrible at the tournament questions, unless they're ones that I watched over and over and over again on Jomez in 2018. But I love learning the things from them.
You know what's so funny, too, is like right now our disc golf history, like I'm looking at that list of previous champions. Like you can go back the past 15 years and the 15 before that, and it's like Climo Schultz, and then it's like you have this little transition period of like Felberg, Doss, kind of, and then it's like Macbeth, Wysocki. You have like these, like, it's very easy to remember disc golf history, but I feel like 10 years from now trying to remember major winners is going to be impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not though if Isaac keeps winning them all. Am I right?
He's right.
Isaac, what should we do with him in the grip lock power rankings?
I'll tell you where he's going. All the way up.
So you have Calvin at one right now, Gannon two, Ricky three, Eagle four, Isaac five, Simon six, Cole seven, Proctor eight, Ellis nine, Paul ten.
Cobra Dahl, what happened to him?
He fell off, man.
It was the fourth round?
Either fourth or third. He got on a lead card. I think he died, man.
I mean, if I think about it hard enough, I could be brought to tears right now with how upset I am with Calvin.
Are you serious? Is it really getting to you?
He really hurt my feelings.
We'll talk about that later.
If you don't fourth mind. Round that he was on lead card and just
I'll put it in my blog.
I can see his score.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fourth round. Three over.
Dang.
Poor guy.
Cole.
His pressure just got to him. But he already got me Chick-fil-A. So
I got to say, I think Isaac has got to go all the way up.
You think to one?
I think so.
I think to two.
Personally. Who's at one then?
Calvin.
Mm-mm.
Not after what he did
jump
to
him?
Me.
Jump him? Let's just do the stat mando combo.
I think he goes all the way up.
I mean, whenever I saw him hit that tree with that Toro, I mean.
That just broke you.
It broke me.
We'll go since June.
Surprised they haven't made baseline Toros yet.
Yeah, like a KC Toro.
CC Pro. CH Pro.
Calvin Einberg Pro.
Yeah.
So Isaac's 3-6 against Calvin since June. Calvin,
yeah, give
six
me,
and three.
Give him more recent than that. Like, if you scroll down, like, give me the last few events. And they're finishing places as well.
Idlewild, Heimberg went second. Isaac went third.
Yeah.
Deglo, Heimberg went fifth. Isaac went seventh. But Ledgestone, Heimberg went second. Isaac went 15th. European Open, Heimberg went fourth. Isaac went 12th. The Preserve, Heimberg went second. Isaac went 31st.
Here's my thing.
Calvin hasn't finished outside the top 10 on this list. Isaac has a 30th, a 31st, a 12th, and a 15th on
this list.
All
I'm going to say is all I know is Calvin doesn't win important tournaments, and all we have left this season are important tournaments.
Yeah, but that's the future. I think Isaac in second right now makes sense. I don't think he can jump Calvin.
I'll say
Calvin
that's
is
fine
beating him
for the
much.
Sake of time, but it's under protest.
Calvin's beating him too much. Calvin's 100% top 10. Isaac's only 55% since June.
Yeah, I mean,
Calvin's just too consistent.
I'm sick of Calvin, bro. I'm sick of him not winning, dude.
But he's just always there. And there's something to be said in the power rankings for always being there. There's not something to be said for the player of the year, but for power rankings, there's something to be said.
Yes.
So Calvin won, Isaac two. I like
those. The rest of this won't change much because a lot of these players played pretty well.
Gannon v. Rick.
They both finished in similar spots.
Gannon finished in sixth. Ricky finished in 12th. Down. Simon might be someone to look
at. Is Gannon below Rick right now?
No.
No, okay, so he can stay there.
Eagle's below Rick, though.
Eagle could possibly jump Rick.
McMahon versus Wysock.
Yep.
Eagle's 4-1 against Ricky since June.
They just
Eagle's been so good since June. My gosh. Third, second, fourth. Ricky's been 12th, 8th, 6th, 5th, 1.
They've both been really good.
But Eagle's just been better.
Eagle's been very good.
But Eagle hasn't had a win during that time frame.
That's true.
But 4-1, I thought you got to go Eagle.
Oh, easily.
Yeah, I think we flip Ricky. Because it's not like Ricky's falling off the face of the earth. He's just going down a spot.
Yeah.
Now we have Simon next.
He also had a decent finish.
Simon finished in 11th, only beat Rick by one. I don't think he moves him. Colbert Dahlin was in 7th. He slipped. He came in...
He still did okay.
22nd.
Yeah, you know, top 25.
James Proctor
did play well, though, but Cole's coming fresh 10th. Off of a win.
Let's just go Proctor to Colbert Dahlin and just look. A win does matter a lot. Cole has him, 4-3.
I think
we're fine there.
Cole's good there.
Corey Ellis after James Proctor and then Paul McBeth.
We're going to have to look at Corey Ellis. What did he do?
I didn't hear his name all weekend. 55th.
Ooh, Corey.
Tough scene.
Because he's still kind of running off of that
bye,
major.
Bye, Mr. Ellis.
Oh, there right? you go.
I think that was Hunter.
Well, who are we subbing him with? Because Paul's probably going to hang on.
I think Paul hangs on to 10th. There's got to be someone we're sleeping on here. Let's look at Matty O.
Well, I think you're going to have to look at AB as well.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, frick that. Let's look. Is AB not in our top 10?
He just got bumped out last week.
AB versus Corey Ellis.
Had some iffy
I love
Matty
O so much. I three know and I say three. It often, but I love him.
3-3 since June. They haven't faced each other since the European Open.
Yeah.
But it was a 2nd and 55th.
Mm.
I like Anthony Barella over Corey Ellis, but is AB the best to replace him?
Yeah, let's look at another player potentially.
Matty O. I think let's go AB versus
Matty
O. I think
we do need to look at Matty O. Matty O's been out of the top 10 for a little bit, and I think that's might be...
Well, AB's 5-4 against him.
Wow.
Now, AB does have like a 75th and a 64th on there. Factor that in. What the heck happened there, AB?
I'm factoring.
Versus Matty O's worst is a 28th. But AB has beat him more than he's lost to him. So you got to weigh that.
And he's got the two most recent as well.
He does, yeah.
I think we slide AB in there.
Yeah, come I think on, we put man. AB. Now, second place should we go Worlds? AB versus Paul? Just to see if he belongs in 10th or 9th.
Yeah, good idea. They probably haven't.
1-1 against each other.
Yeah, they probably have no matchups.
PCS
so.
And that. So, yeah, nothing. Okay. So, I think we. But Paul's also not playing the rest of the season.
Let's just put AB in 9th.
Yeah. So, Paul's going to slip. Paul's the next one off the list because he's not playing.
Yeah, probably next event he's going to be.
All right. We have Kristen 1, Owen 2, Missy 3, Holland Hanley 4, Valerie Mandahano 5. First off, Missy to 2nd.
Then
I believe.
Bump Missy up, leave Owen in 3rd because she did just win. And then Holland just took
Holland,
third,
I think,
so
is fine
stays.
In 4th. Val Mandahano, I did not hear that name this weekend, I feel like.
We didn't hear really many names other than.
She came in 7th.
That's probably going to be fine.
Yeah, because the people in between are Evelina Solonen, Henna Blomru, Silver Saarinen, and Macy Valdez tied with her. So, all
right.
I think we're fine there.
Easy enough.
Kristen, Missy, Owen, Holland, Val. There's the power rankings. There's Grip Locked. Hopefully you enjoyed. Get outside today. Play some disc golf.
Use code
out.
World Champ.
Yeah, use code World Champ.
Use code World Champ. Save on some Prodigy.
Yeah, Prodigy.
Go pick up some Prodigy
and
Classic.
You will win
and
a
you,
World Championship
you
too.
Also,
everyone, give your Prodigy disc recommendation. Mine is a sneaky PA4.
I think we gotta do it in stock.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Don't you
mainly because I'm gonna say PA3, and I don't think we have any PA3s because
that's
they're too good.
Yeah, we will though.
They flying off the shelves. They flying off the shelves.
Prodigy. The A1's in stock. The A5's in stock. The Shadowfax is in stock. The D Model OS, the D Model S, the D2. I actually just put D2's in my bag.
D2's are nice. D2's are nice.
F Model
well,
OS, F
I'll
Model
say
S.
this. We have two archives left, or those may be in the store.
I think they're in the retail store. I think they sold out online.
Oh, we have FX2's and Distortions. MX1's.
MX1's a great
MX1
disc. That's
feels
also
really
bag.
Nice, yeah.
MX1 might be the move.
I'm going to recommend the D2.
I think the D2 is a good disc.
I can't throw Destroyers anymore this year. And so I was actually considering the Reverb or the D2, and I went with the D2. Haven't regretted it. Connor, your choice is basically like Strider, Reverb, Shadowfax.
We have a lot of the new stuff. I say Connor probably hasn't even thrown a lot of the stuff that we have.
I haven't thrown.
Connor,
the new
why don't you
stuff.
Tell him about the A1, man?
I'll say MX1
the A1's
is
good. The A1 is if you want a real overstable approach disc, that's a little more skippy, which is very usable a lot of times. If you want those skips around corners and stuff like that.
I like to call it the A1 sauce because it's all beef.
Yeah. Whoa!
Big
Come on.
All right, well, we'll see you same time, same place next week.
Bye-bye.
Is the MVP open this weekend? Have a preview show.
Do they go straight into it?
Pay attention. We might
hit
have a preview
with it.
Show.
Might.
If not, we'll see you same time, same place.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
I could go casual chic or dress for success.
With so many looks, picking out what to wear can be difficult. But with Walmart, picking out a fresh pair of glasses is easy.
Maybe it's an athleisure day.
That's because Walmart has top brands and styles for you to choose from. So it's easy to find the right frames for whatever you're feeling.
Here's my outfit of the day and the perfect pair of cat eye frames to match.
New glasses to make your styles pop. Welcome to your Walmart. Valid prescription required.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit HighFiveCasino.com. That's high, the number five, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.